Welcome to the Ortho Eval Pal podcast, where we can help you build confidence with your orthopedic evaluation and management skills. We hope you enjoy the show. And now, for your host, Paul Marquis.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 147 of the Ortho Eval Pal podcast show. I'm your host, Paul Marquis, and today I have with me guest Mark Rossingall, and we're going to be talking about how to successfully grow a PT practice. I'm really excited about this interview today, and it's something that I've wanted to do for a long time. And in the midst of this COVID virus, there have been a lot of challenges. And when I take a look at, you know, how Mark and his team have been able to, you know, move forward through these tough times and other tough times that we've had out there, I thought, you know, this would be a great time to talk about, you know, the how to keep a successful practice going and going well. But before we start this interview, I'd like to just take a moment to hear a word from our sponsors.
A good night's sleep is what everybody needs. Fresh Rest bedding will keep you comfortable all night. Our advanced textiles and weave wicks moisture and also regulates body temperature. This design, coupled with our all-natural organic antimicrobial, eliminates 99.9% of odor-causing bacteria, as well as dust mites, which are an allergen to many. Because our bedding stays fresh longer, it is eco-friendly, as it only requires washing once a month on average. This bedding is also known for its incredible softness. Our antimicrobial is all-natural and organic. No metals, waxes, chemicals, or nanos. Our sheets will never leach onto or into your skin ever. These sheets are safe for your entire family. Fresh Rest is designed and engineered by Maine Lee Technology Group, based in Wells, Maine, and our sheets are made for the USA. Fresh Rest bedding is only available for purchase through our e-commerce website by visiting freshrestbedding.com. Once again, that's freshrestbedding.com.
Hello and welcome back. So first of all, in full disclosure, I am employed by County Physical Therapy, which is owned by Mark Rossingall. And Mark was the founder of County Physical Therapy. He's been a physical therapist for over 35 years now and is a graduate of the University of New England, which is where I also graduated a couple years later. Mark decided to take the leap and open County Physical Therapy in 1987. And he also specializes in orthopedics and sports. Since then, County Physical Therapy has grown to 6 clinics throughout the northern half of the state of Maine. Welcome to the show, Mark.
Thanks, Paul. Wow, 143 episodes. I was wondering when you'd finally ask me.
Yeah.
but no, that's awesome. I think you're doing a great job with your podcast. I get a lot of good feedback, and I think it shows your passion for what you do. And we're going to talk about it, I'm sure, but that's what does keep me going, is that I sincerely and truly enjoy what I do as a profession, and we try to do everything we can to make sure that we continue to be able to do that.
That's right. That's right. You know, we go back a long time. I've been working for you for over 28 years now, and we have taken care of a lot of people and treated a lot of patients in that time. Wow. Let's go back to the beginning for a bit, if you could. You know, just tell us, what was it that made you decide you wanted to open your own private practice? I know you worked in a hospital setting for a while, and then you finally took the leap. What was it that made you get to that point?
Well, I guess it started in college, obviously. I obviously had a penchant for sports medicine and orthopedics, and some of my clinicals that I'd done at the University of Vermont was all sports medicine and orthopedics and teaching environments. I worked, one of my clinicals was in Bangor at St. Joseph's Hospital, and I was, as a student, I was listening around. There was some rumblings with some of the therapists, and I said, what's going on? And they were planning to open up the first ever private practice in Bangor. So I was in on that, right on the ground floor, like without supposedly knowing, but I'm like, something's going on here. And sure enough, within 6 months they opened the practice. And then when I started to consider my practice, I consulted them as well as Lorne Hebert in Augusta. So we're going way back. These are the first guys and gals that had really started private practice. And I went down to Brett Eberle and Frank Gentile. They had a practice in Portland. So I really did a lot of research and homework, and got kind of frustrated working in the hospital setting. I remember working at the hospital and I wanted to buy a textbook. And it was this $80 textbook. And I asked my supervisor, can we order a textbook? She said, well, we'll have to see if that gets through the budget. Like, what? So out of frustration and out of desire to do what I thought the county needed, I wanted to do in the county what they were doing in Burlington, Vermont, Boston, Portland, Bangor, et cetera.
And by the county, you mean Aroostook County, which yes. is when we say the county in the state of Maine, it's really well recognized that this is this large county in northern Maine, which has a lot of history to it. And that's where we are both from. So just for those of you who are, you know, not from Maine, who don't know where the county is, or you may be in India listening to this or any other country, that's what we mean by the county. So yeah, that's great. In the beginning, you know, what did it take to make the kind of, you know, spaghetti stick to the wall when it came to putting your practice together and heading in the right direction? Like, you started on your own, but you felt like you needed to start to grow this. And what did it take to get you to grow?
Well, I think, yeah, I started in 1987 and we had to find a spot. And we found a spot, and it was fortuitously one floor down in the same building as an orthopedic surgeon, Dr. Mitchell, who was working at Cary Medical Center. And he had heard that I was frustrated in leaving the area and says, geez, we have an opportunity here. I'm a young orthopedic surgeon and want to do a lot of work. I need good rehab. So he was of the philosophy of rehabilitation. And so he and I worked hand in hand, really, literally. He would call me upstairs to see patients. He would come down and see patients that he'd done surgery on. And it was a great symbiotic relationship. But more than that, we had to do the work. And it was early hours for convenience. It was late hours for convenience. And you know, Paul and I, you did it with me. We were working all day long and it never stopped. We barely got time to eat lunch. But it was fun, and we saw results. Patients were getting better. They saw that we cared. They saw that there was communication with the referral source, and whether it was the doctor or the work comp people, used to work with Don Mitchell and Donna Quadraro, and I forget what the name of that business was.
Mimic,
but they had a company that worked for Mimic. They would send us patients, work comp, let's get them back to work. So we quickly developed a philosophy of a sports medicine philosophy. We applied it to occupational health,
right,
and work comp,
right,
getting these people seen early, rehabilitated properly, and a back to work plan.
Yeah.
And then we had good working relationships with Dr. Lee Thibodeau, as you do today still, where we would refer neurosurgical patients there. And patients were like, wow, you guys are doing that. You're helping us out. You're helping get this process going. And yeah. So I think that's kind of how it was. And then the key was consistency. They could count on us.
Right.
We were there day in and day out, year in, month out, year in, year out.
Right. Right. And I, you know, you touched on something, and that was like, you know, being there before work early, getting mm-hmm. things done. I mean, I remember you calling me sometimes at 4:45, 5:00 in the morning, and you'd say,
sorry,
Paul, what are you up to? You know, I was just getting back from a run or something. Like, no, I was looking at the back of my eyelids. But Mark was there and he was working. He was doing paperwork. He was seeing patients at 5:30, 6:00 in the morning. I remember that. I remember doing that myself. Yep. And it's that little extra, you know, we call it the mint that you get when you go to the restaurant and you've just had your meal and they give you that mint, and it's that little extra something that you get. And Mark has always been really, really good at doing that. And I've seen Mark go to patients' homes after surgery and even, you know, between therapy sessions, and really go out of his way late at night to go, you know, check on somebody, how they're doing. He's done that numerous times, and people really appreciate that. And I think that's how you build that relationship with your patients. Yep. And I think that the providing the medical providers who send those people also see that. And I think work ethic and this willingness to learn, you know, I mean, when we were young and going at it, and we were busy, but we were still taking the extra time to learn and to learn from each other. And we still do that to this day. We call each other on a regular basis to sort through all that stuff. And I think it really works well. Now, You now have a staff of 13 PTs, two occupational therapists, three PT assistants, three athletic trainers, a general manager, an administrative staff, PT aides, and a full billing department. Tell us a little bit about the importance of teamwork.
Well, yeah, I mean, it quickly became from one office to three offices to four and five offices. And the way that happened, I remember in Caribou, from 3 o'clock till 5:36, we'd have athletes from Holton, Presque Isle, Mars Hill, Fort Kent, Mattawa.
People from geographically a very long distance away.
Yeah, they were traveling an hour, many times, an hour one way. And it was crowded. We just could not handle it in terms of space. So then we started venturing out into different towns, and that worked. Because we had key people in each place. And the success of CPT is not Mark Rossignol. It's that Mark Rossignol was able to motivate, inspire, and hire and retain quality people. And that's how it works. The question was...
It was just there. What do you think about teamwork? You know, yeah, how do we develop that? Like, you know, it's not just the physical therapists that are treating the patients. It's, you know, when patients come in the front door and they're greeted by administrative staff and they're taken care of, you know, there's just so much, you know, to get from point A to point B. And it's about everybody working together, even if you're not in the same profession.
No, it's customer service. I guess it comes down to how does the customer want to be treated? A client, in this case, it's a customer that happens to be a patient that's got some physical ailments, and with physical ailments come some mental anguish, oftentimes emotional, and we recognize that. We're talking about team. Like I know in Caribou where I work, we have three PTs and one PT assistant and two PT aides. So there are really six clinicians there on the floor. So many times a patient will have two providers. So to me, that's better than a one-to-one. You know, they've actually got two people that are caring about them and know their case. And that helps the therapist, helps the assistant that's working because he feels like he's part of a team too.
Right.
And to me, that's ideal.
Yeah.
And the same with the administrative staff. And then when we hired Richard Ezzi, our general manager, been 15 years now, that was key because we could not have grown from the business sense. Clinically we were set, but business, it's another ball of wax, and it's a bunch of other challenges, as we know what we'll talk about. But so the team is a very, very important.
I think everybody having confidence in the positions that they're in is very important too. Mm-hmm. I always remember when I first started with Mark, he would be doing an evaluation. And after he was done that evaluation, he'd call me in and say, Paul, I'm giving you 5 minutes to evaluate this patient. Give me a diagnosis. And I could have thrown my arms in the air and said, you know, I don't need this kind of pressure, but I loved it. I wanted more of it. And I learned that way. I learned to become a better diagnostician. And really that is, I truly believe that is why I developed OrthoEval Pal and just started to feel much more confident evaluating patients, getting to a good diagnosis, and then feeling comfortable talking to specialists and providers about, you know, certain situations, or you know, if somebody was having a hard time after an ACL reconstruction, they weren't gaining range of motion as they should have been, you know, feeling confident calling an orthopedic surgeon and talking to them and having a good discussion about getting the patient better. And I think it's all about building confidence. And when you can do that in each department and do it all together, I think that's really key in keeping everything going. And you know, that's been really fun.
We did it. I did it yesterday. For example, I was working in Fort Kent, and we had our lead therapist there, Matt Michaud, and we had a PT assistant there, and we had to see a 20-year-old gal from California, a soccer player, and she'd had a scope in April, I guess, but no formal rehab because of the COVID. And so she came back from California, her knee's bothering her. So we check it. And she had a lateral meniscectomy. Everything was fine, good motion, no synovitis really that we could see, no effusion, ligaments were stable. So we started checking, and it was lateral knee pain. So I said to the assistant, I said, what could this be? And she automatically said, well, lateral meniscus. I said, well, it could be, but she had a meniscectomy. But let's think in terms of what else it could be, lateral knee pain. Is there intra-articular, extra-articular? What's going on here? So I don't have MRI vision, but from the examination, it looked like she had an IT band friction syndrome. She was running uphill, downhill, trying to do all kinds of stuff, but she did have some proximal hip weakness. But I didn't say that she was wrong, but to look at it in a different way. And that's afterwards, right. She said, geez, that was good. I really appreciate that. So we still have opportunities to teach.
Yeah.
And I think that if I'm a young therapist, that's what I want. That's the environment I want.
Yeah, exactly. And that was actually going to be my next question is, yeah, what advice do you have for students in the medical field? And it doesn't have to just be physical therapy, but in the medical field or new grad medical providers as they embark on their journey of helping people, you know, what kind of advice do you have for them as they get started? Because we know that, you know, we've questioned people and said, how many years did it take before you felt comfortable evaluating patients or evaluating orthopedic conditions? Yeah. And the answer is about 10 years in general. It takes a long time. But what kind of advice as they're starting out would you give?
Yeah, that's a good question. So I think back, my son, who's 28 now, oh, he's 30. Wow. He's 30 and he's a doctor. And I never had to tell him, give him advice, you know, like say, Jared, you better do your homework. Jared, you better do this. You better do that. He saw it. So he observes what you're doing. And you have kids and you know the same. You can tell them all you want, but it's what they see.
Right.
And I think that's what our students, they come in, they see us working our tail off. And I remember Jared going to medical school and he'd come back and say, Dad, I want to be the best in my medical school class. I want to be the best in my residency class. And I think that's the advice I would give people is don't settle to just get by. Settle to be the best that you can be in your clinic, in your town, in your state, in the country. And I think that's kind of what happened to you. I've watched your professional development. And you've not only become the best in your clinic, you're known in the state and beyond. And that's because of your desire to do that and to have that expectation for yourself. So, and then don't be afraid to work hard. There's hard work.
That's right.
So like somebody says, John Doucette, my other therapist said, yeah, Mark there, he was making me work hard and he was out water skiing. Okay. But he knew that I worked hard and he didn't mind working hard. And I don't mind that he worked hard because he's reaped the benefits.
That's right.
And I think that's what we have to do with students today. They need to realize that it's not easy.
Yes.
And it shouldn't be, because if it is, then.
Yeah. I mean, one of my most rewarding clinicals when I was a student was one where I had every single note corrected every single day. And, you know, we were there early, we worked late, we put in the extra time, you know, I think that's invaluable. You do it early and then it's going to become easier as you go on. I always like to recommend to young people too, is don't be afraid to do things like give presentations to groups of people, because if you can comfortably present to 5, 10, 15, 20, I've done up to 300 people at a time. And once you get comfortable, you know, speaking in front of a crowd, then it's much easier to communicate one-on-one with your patient. You can really, be in charge and take that bull by the horns and really make some good decisions at that point. So, you know, I think being accepting constructive criticism too, some people don't accept it very well and others can. And I think that you should continue to be challenged, and that's very important also. Mark, everybody asks me this, you know, even you don't work in my office. I don't work in your office very often because we're so busy in other areas but I still get this question because a lot of people know you. They say, what keeps him going? You know, he can bike and run and still play sports and do all kinds of stuff. What fuels your inner fire? Like what, you know, in physical therapy, what keeps you trudging forward in the face of, you know, challenges? And I'm talking about challenges like, you know, declining insurance reimbursement and, you know, things like COVID restrictions and a shrinking population in our, you know, area. You know, why continue to push forward like you do?
Well, the why is the big question. How I do it is that, you know, I have to stay fit. I read something the other day that this COVID crisis about wearing masks and obesity and the comorbidities that go along with poor results following COVID, and you're 4 to 5 times more likely to suffer catastrophic problems from COVID if you're obese. or deconditioned or diabetes, those lifestyle diseases. So to me, it makes sense to fight this to be fit.
Right.
And for me, if I did not stay fit, I don't think I could have the energy or the inner fire to do what I do, number one. So to me, that's been a priority. I've been a cyclist now for 20 years since I tore my ACL, and I just keep it going. It's not always easy, mind you.
Right, right.
To get up at 4:30 in the morning and go work out and see patients. But that's the how. Why I still do it is because I believe in our profession, and I believe that we have to make sure that that doesn't get away from us, which it seems like it can at times, and we want to get discouraged, insurance companies limiting visits, and we can't. I know that 20 years ago, I was rehabbing rotator cuffs better than I am now. And it's not because my skills gotten worse. It's because we can't see the number of visits, and we know it can take 8 to 12 months to get a good rotator cuff, and they want us to do it in 2 months.
Right.
So I think we have to fight for it, because if we don't, who will?
Right.
Exactly. And another thing, which I may not have shared, but I have X number of employees, whether it's 40, 45, and I feel almost like they're my children. Right. You feel responsible for them. You want them to have a satisfying work life, professional life, and a good place to work. And trust me, Rich and I agonize over this a lot. So that's kind of what keeps me going. I'm not ready to give up on all these people that have worked hard all these years, you know?
Yeah.
That's the truth.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'd have to agree with you. I mean, I still have a passion to do what I do. I'm going to do it till I retire, I'm sure. And,
you're going to retire?
Yeah. No.
I'm not retiring.
Someday. Yeah. Yeah. You have to have a passion for it. And I think that makes a huge difference. Now, sometimes you can burn out and get fatigued. I know PT, it has a high rate of burnout and can be very difficult. It costs a lot to get through college, and sometimes paying for that can be daunting. And we don't just do physical work all the time with our patients, but there's a lot of psychological stuff that comes with that also. And that can really weigh down on a person. And one thing I've learned is that I did kind of get a little tired. You know, I've been at this for 28 years, and I want to say that, you know, 4 or 5 years ago, I was kind of like, I need something a little bit different. And that's where I started, you know, doing Maine Orthopedic seminars and giving courses. And I still kept my hands wet in physical therapy. I'm still seeing patients, and that's really primarily what I love to do the best. Mm-hmm. But now I do OrthoEval Pal and some podcasting and YouTubing and stuff like that. But it's all relating to what I do. And to be honest with you, I'm learning more now than I ever have, because I'm researching this stuff before we put it up and before do it. So there are many different ways to continue to fuel your inner fire toward the profession that you're in. And especially if you know that's what you need to be doing, or that's what you should be doing. Sometimes you need to take a little break from that or do something a little bit different, but, you know, kind of keep your hands wet in it. And it does take a lot of hard work. There's no ands, ifs, or buts about that.
Yeah, that's the same thing. Like for the last 15, 20 years, I've done preseason soccer and conditioning. And that's the exact reason. It kind of gets me out of the office for three weeks. I do all the different schools. It's hard. I've done it again this year, and it's harder and harder as you approach 60 years old. But I think that's a good point, that everybody should have little hobbies. That's why I encouraged you and all others to do whatever they like, they're passionate about. That's a little different, divergent from the profession. And that's right. Great. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We've gone through a lot of stuff. Is there anything else, Mark, that you think that folks should know out there in regards to keeping a clinic, you know, a well-oiled machine, and to continue to press forward and do what we do and do it well?
Well, I think it's key to have administrative support, like having a general manager like Richard Ezzi, with all the regulations that we have, Medicare and all that. It's imperative to have that. Number two, you got to be able to try to keep your staff motivated. And we've always tried to do that financially with bonusing and raises and benefits. And that becomes increasingly difficult. So then you have to deal with that. But I think the main thing is to focus and just keep going and not get discouraged. Don't try to change what we're doing. Just stay focused. You know, don't be consistent. It's amazing what you can accomplish with consistency. Mm-hmm. And you're going to have these ups and downs. We've had a big down, but we fought. I mean, people see me all the time. Oh, when did you guys reopen? When did you reopen? We never closed.
Yeah.
We adapted.
Right.
And it wasn't easy, but we adapted and we kept going. We don't want to ever close.
Right.
We want to keep going. We want to be there for the people.
Right.
And so, I think just being able to work together and talk about different cases inter-office is awesome. We've opened a new office in Bangor. That was a big challenge. We did that in January, and then everybody knows what happened in March.
Yep.
The big COVID shutdown. People said, geez, that was bad timing. No, it was what it is. It's,
yep.
We'll keep going. And we've got good people in place, and we kind of pooled together. We've always done that. I was talking to John Doucette, and he said, how's PJ doing in Bangor? Well, it's a struggle, but we're making it. He says, yeah, anything we can do, we'll be happy to. And then that makes it a lot easier.
Right, right. Yeah.
So I couldn't ask for better employees and staff and the way they work. So,
well, we appreciate everything you've done for us and for giving us the opportunities to, you know, spread our wings and to do, you know, things maybe a little bit differently, or even, you know, help to run a clinic a little differently or whatnot. Yeah. But we really appreciate that. Well, Mark, I'd really like to thank you for being on the show today and for bringing some of your knowledge, you know, from your many years of experience to the table. And I certainly wish you the best in the future, especially with your new clinic in Bangor, where to keep working to grow that clinic. And I know it's going to be successful. We know it will. We will continue working hard to do that. So to all of you today, thank you so much for listening and for tuning into Ortho Eval Pal and the podcast. If you have any questions or would like to make any comments for Mark or myself, you can find our emails in the addresses and in the links below. So I'll have tons of links in the show notes today. And if you would have any questions that you want answered on the show, feel free to send those along also, and I'll do my very best to answer those. And be sure to check out our YouTube channel. Please take a minute also to go to Apple Podcasts and Spotify or any platform that you're using to listen to the show and give us a rating and review, because that really helps with the algorithm and allows us to move forward, continue to give you some valuable information that you can use in the clinic the next day. So, Mark, thank you so much for being on the show. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome. Anytime, if you want me to talk on another topic, let me know. Be happy to do it.
Absolutely. And if anybody has any questions for Mark, let us know. We'll have his email in the show notes, and I can help transfer some of those questions over to Mark. Again, thank you so much for listening, and take care to all of you.
We hope you've enjoyed the show. For some more awesome content, go to orthoevalpal.com. Can't wait to see you there.